I'm Marty Moscowane. Welcome back to Radio Times. Philadelphia jazz pianist McCoy Tyner said our guest Terrell Stafford is one of the great players of our time, a fabulous trumpet player. Stafford was trained as a classical musician, attending classes at Rutgers University by day while playing with Bobby Watson's Horizon Quintet at night. He played with McCoy Tyner's Latin All-Star Band and his sextet, as well as Benny Golson's sextet, Jimmy Heath's Big Band, and the John Faddis Orchestra. Terrell Stafford is director of jazz studies at Temple University, where he's the Laura Carnell Professor of Jazz and Chair of Instrumental Studies. He has several recordings, which we will play excerpts from during this hour. We'll also be talking about the Jazz Orchestra of Philadelphia that he founded earlier this year. And Terrell Stafford, we've been chasing you for about 2 years, and it's nice to have you here with us in our Philadelphia studios.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Marty.
Well, it's nice to know that jazz trumpet players are busy.
That's surely good to know, especially for the mortgage collector.
What does a trumpet allow you to do? I know you've been playing this instrument since you're about 13 years old.
For me, it's self-expression. That's what it really allows me to do. And it can really reflect any mood I'm in. And, you know, sometimes I can be pretty vocal, but if I'm not, the trumpet can represent what I'm thinking, who I am, what I feel.
Did you play other instruments as a kid before you came to the trumpet?
I did. I started out playing the viola.
Oh, really?
It was a disaster.
Why?
Well, I was awful. I was god-awful, and my teacher would hit me on the fingers for every wrong note, and I was notorious for playing a lot of wrong notes. I was probably the most popular in the class with the wrong notes. And so after him constantly hitting me with this bow, I one day decided to block his bow, and my bow hit him in the middle of the face, cracking his glasses, and him suspending me from school for a week and from music for a year, and had my parents come in and said, "Your son has no musical talent whatsoever. Keep him as far away from music as humanly possible."
Wow.
So that was my first experience. And so the year that I wanted to start to play the trumpet, I was suspended from music. So then after that year, I could play the trumpet.
So who put the first trumpet in your hands?
Actually, I was my grandparents. They lived in Florida. And my cousin played trumpet. And he had his trumpet in a closet. And, you know, being a kid, you know, when grandma says, "Don't go in that closet," you're going to go in that closet. And I went in the closet and picked up the trumpet. And then if she would go and run errands in town, I'd take it out and I'd play it and I'd put it back before she got home. So I knew
you were a mischievous kid.
I was pretty bad, yeah.
and was it kind of love at if not first sight, first what?
First
hold.
I mean, I thought it was a fascinating instrument in that it only had three vowels. I was like, wow, three vowels, this must be really easy. All these other, like saxophones, have all these keys and piano, you know. So trumpet must be pretty easy. And it's probably one of the more difficult instruments I've played.
Yeah. You grew up in Miami.
Yeah. Born in Miami and near the Coral Gables area is where I started school because my mother was a teacher. So I went to school where she taught because it was just easier that way. And then my father got a job for the railroad, and we started to move every 4 years. So then we moved to the Chicago area, and I lived there, and that's where I actually started to play trumpet.
Right.
And then we moved from there, from my high school, to Maryland, and I went to a high school in Maryland.
So what kind of music in your house? I mean, what did your parents listen to, or your grandparents?
My grandparents really didn't listen to much music, unless it was gospel music. That's what they listened to. My parents listened to everything, you know, R&B, you know, Stevie Wonder was always playing. And my dad actually went to school with Cannonball Adderley.
Really?
So, yeah, he loved Cannonball, so he played a lot of that. And he actually wanted me to play jazz starting out, and I just didn't want to because my peers all played classical music. So I said, I'm just going to follow the flow and do that. And, you know, it was great that I played classical music for most of my life.
Yeah, in fact, you studied classical music, and I guess, I don't know if it's considered late to come to jazz, but you were, I guess, maybe older when you came to jazz?
I was in my early 20s when I started to really take it serious. Mm-hmm. And many factors led me to it. One being that one of my trumpet heroes is a guy named Bud Herseth, who was principal of the Chicago Symphony. And in a master class I attended that he was giving, he spoke about his favorite trumpet player was Clark Terry and, you know, how much he loved jazz. And it kind of shocked me. I was like, wow, my hero, the principal of Chicago Symphony, likes jazz. And he said, I asked him, he goes, sure. He goes, you know, every Sunday after church I go play in a Dixieland band.
Oh, my goodness.
It's my favorite thing to do. Oh. And then he started just to speak about, you know, the greatest musicians do it all. He goes, it's the ones who speak ill about one genre or the other that kind of reveal their musicianship. And that was really interesting. So I said, maybe I should learn some jazz, and that could help my classical playing. And lo and behold, it's my career.
Do you think classical helped your jazz playing, though?
Absolutely. I mean, the repertoire, the great teachers that I've had, learning the fundamentals of your instrument, really, you know, being as tedious as possible when it comes to sound and it comes to articulation, so on and so forth.
And the notes, I guess.
Yep, and the notes and the colors. And so when I started to play more jazz, those fundamental things were somewhat, you know, settled.
I don't know if I was being overly dramatic in my introduction and saying that you attended Rutgers University by day and playing with the Bobby Watson's Horizon Quintet by night. Did I get that right?
That was really, really great.
Was it close enough?
It was great, yeah. It was very close to that, yeah. Near the end of my graduate studies, I did meet Bobby Watson and started to go out on the road with him. Yeah. But I couldn't tell anyone that I was going on the road with Bobby Watson because I was a classical major, and if I were going to go on a road, it had to be with a classical group. So I said that
there's a pattern here. I'm seeing it in your life.
Yep. So I said, I'm going on the road with the Robert Watson Chamber Ensemble. And the school was very proud of me until the band showed up on the cover of Downbeat.
Oh.
So.
And you were in trouble again?
I was in trouble again. Another suspension.
Were you suspended again?
For a year. Yeah.
For a year.
Academic probation is what they call it. But it was worth it. I got to go on the road with Bobby Watson, and he was the beginning of my career in jazz.
I do want to play, and we pulled out some selections from some of your CDs, and I do want to play them as well.
Mm-hmm.
But do you see classical and jazz in two worlds today, or do you think there is more melding of players, of thinking about music, of thinking about these two forms of music?
I think they're more of a melding of players. It wasn't that way before, but, you know, speaking to great musicians, for example, recently having dinner with principal of Philadelphia Orchestra, David Bilger, spoke about his experience that he played with John Faddis, and he played, you know, jazz gigs. And, you know, I think great musicians can play anything, you know. And that's what I've been learning all through my life. It doesn't matter what genre you choose. It's whatever you choose, just do it at the highest level possible.
Well, we're going to play an excerpt from Soft Winds. This is from our guest, Terrell Stafford's 2003 album, New Beginnings, composed by Fletcher Henderson, featuring our guest, Terrell Stafford. Stafford on trumpet, Derek Hodge bass, Dana Hall drums, Milgrew Miller on piano, Harry Allen tenor sax, and Jesse Davis alto sax. That's Soft Winds from our guest Terrell Stafford's 2003 album New Beginnings, and that's our guest Terrell Stafford playing trumpet. That sounds pretty great, eh?
Thank you.
Do you enjoy listening to yourself?
No. Nope.
Do you? You're probably listening for.
Yeah,
what?
I said, oh, I should have done that different. Why did I play that? Oh, this could have been better. And so I said, you know, you start thinking when I get home tonight from this show, here's what I need to practice.
And will you practice?
Oh, I love to practice.
Do you?
I do.
From the get-go?
From the get-go, yeah. You know, since I had that trumpet in my hand, I didn't like to practice viola, but since I had the trumpet in my hand, I'd love to practice. I've always just been fascinated, and I can get fixated on something, you know, just from an attack. I can work on an attack for hour and a half. Time just flies just trying to, you know, my goal is to perfect, but the outcome isn't always perfect, and that's okay.
Yeah. I was reading that Clifford Brown's Cherokee was a big influence on you, and we were actually listening to this morning just to remind ourselves what a tour de force performance that is.
Oh my gosh, it's unbelievable. I mean, listening to Clifford Brown, no matter what genre you play, I mean, his technique was flawless. His sound was beautiful. And, you know, he played on a student model instrument with a...
Is that right?
It wasn't a professional instrument that he played on, and the mouthpiece he played was really small. And so you talk to young players, and everyone's really concerned about the equipment they play. But Clifford Brown made this beautiful, beautiful sound on something so basic and had flawless technique. Articulation was great, and his musicality was just beyond. I mean, Clifford Brown with strings still touches me to this day.
Do you have a lot of instruments, you yourself?
I have a few, you know.
You brought one sitting over there?
Yeah, I bought a trumpet and flugelhorn there, but I have a few other trumpets at home. I'm part of this endorsement that I have with this company, P. Marriott. So they give you a couple horns, and, you know, and then I have other horns that I've just been collecting and horns that people have given to me.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
And each one, I'm assuming, has its own personality, its own quirks.
Yeah, it has its personalities. It has, you know, has its own story. You know, everything has a story behind it. Like the flugelhorn that I play now was Roy Eldridge's flugelhorn. And Roy Eldridge didn't play much flugelhorn, but he received this horn when he was in France from the Queenon factory and gave it to a great tenor saxophonist, Frank West, and Frank gave it to me as a gift. So, you know, I'm really protective of that, you know. Don't touch it. Just kidding.
I'm not moving.
I'm just kidding.
We're going to take a very short break and then get back to our conversation. Terrell Stafford is our guest today on the show, director of jazz studies at Temple University. He is a classically trained but jazz performing trumpet player, and he has debuted or begun the Jazz Orchestra of Philadelphia. We'll be talking about that as well and playing some selections from some more of his music. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Although you can use it to scrub pots and pans, few gardeners will sing the praises of the weed known as horsetail. I'm Mike McGrath, and on the next You Bet Your Garden, we'll take a close look at this unusual plant. Plus, answers to all your growing questions. That's You Bet Your Garden, Saturday morning at 11, right here on WHYY-FM.
I'm Jesse Thorne. Rick Moranis' first job was selling programs at hockey games for 75 cents a pop.
I would do anything that I could to try and coax that 25-cent tip. So I started doing shtick. Souvenir hot dogs. Get your souvenir hot dogs. Ice-cold programs. Hot Coca-Cola.
Rick Moranis talks about his acting career and his new album on the next Bullseye from NPR.
Tomorrow night at 10 on WHYY.
I'm Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, a financial columnist says Tyler Perry's new shows on Oprah's network offer lessons in what not to do.
As I was watching them, all I saw was money, money, money.
Next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane talking with Terrell Stafford. He's an acclaimed jazz trumpet player, a band leader, educator, and composer. Heads up Temple University's Jazz Studies program, recently founded the Jazz Orchestra of Philadelphia. And we are playing selections from some of his music. And this is an excerpt of A Nick Off the Mark with Terrell Stafford from his 2007 album, Taking Chances, live at the Dakota, composed by our guest, also performing on trumpet with Dana Hall on drums, Tim Warfield, tenor saxophone, Derek Hodge, bass, and Bruce Barth on piano. Again, an excerpt of A Nick Off the Mark with from Terrell Stafford's 2007 album, Taking Chances, live at the Dakota, composed by our guest, also on trumpet. And we're also hearing Tim Warfield, tenor saxophone, on this. And this is, he's a musician that you seem to have great chemistry with.
Yeah, Tim is awesome. I met him years ago, and when I was wanting to play jazz and making the transition, it was tough because some of my friends that were in the classical program were saying, don't do it, you know, it's going to destroy your chops, it's going to, you know. And then the jazz guys were like, don't do it because you'll never learn how to swing, you're not going to be able to get the vocabulary, you just do what you're doing. And the person that was really, really supportive of kind of me moving forward was a professor at Rutgers University, Kenny Barron. And so Kenny was like, you can do this, but let's just keep it quiet, you know. And we did, and I was playing jam session and at this club called Tacoma Station, and a guy named Paul Carr was leading the jam session, and 1 week Paul couldn't be there, so he asked Tim Warfield to come in. And Tim and I came in, and from the first note we played, we said we have to play together again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I shared my frustrations. You know, I've been playing jazz for a couple months, I don't know what to do, you know, people are telling me this and this and this. And Tim was great. He had me come to his, you know, his home in York, Pennsylvania, and we'd practice every weekend because I was still working on my master's in classical trumpet, trying to, you know, complete that. And so I'd go to his house and we'd practice and practice and practice and learn all these tunes, transcribe tunes, and put together a plan of how we were going to get out there and get our names out there. And you know, we learned like three songs, and we started to go to jam sessions and play these three songs. But they were he and I were really tight with them. And people started to hire us. And then Shirley Scott heard Tim play and invited Tim to sit in with her group at Orleans. And Tim was like, why don't you just ride with me? I said, I'll ride, but I'm not going to play. And he goes, oh, you don't have to play. So we get up to Orleans, and of course he's like, hey, Shirley, it's great. I'm so happy to play. And I brought my friend, Tara, who plays trumpet. So Shirley invited us to play. Yeah. And when we played for her, she let us know they were having auditions for Bill Cosby's show, and she was musical director, and we both auditioned for that show. And so we worked right here at WHYY Studio and did the Cosby show here, and that was incredible, you know, for 3 years that we did that.
But so interesting, here's this kind of serendipity, right? I mean, he was filling in for someone else, and you found someone that seems so on the same page, if I can say that.
Absolutely.
With you.
Mm-hmm. And to this day, we're best friends, and we still play a lot together. Right before I walked in, we were, you know, texting each other. He's just a great, great individual with so much knowledge and passion. Mm. And he teaches at Temple University with me. And the students all just love him because, A, he's, you know, the fashion guru of the school. But but if you want to know anything about any recording, you can go to Tim. He's awesome.
Did you have to unlearn any things that you learned as a classically trained trumpet player?
I don't know if I had to unlearn anything. I think I had just to adapt to a different way of doing things. So everything that I learned, I could present just in a different way, you know. Mm-hmm. The thing that was hardest for me was creating. I had the freedom to create, and that was difficult at first because I was like, what do I play? And it's just like speaking. That's what I learned, you know. The more vocabulary you acquire in your, you know, growing up, the more you can express yourself. And the same thing with music. The more vocabulary that I got, the more solos that I would learn and the more players I would go out and hear, the more I could express myself through a jazz vehicle.
You've been a sideman and probably still in a lot of different bands. I'm assuming that helps as well. I mean, learning to sort of listen and be part of a different kind of a group.
It does help as well. And in some ways, in some really strange ways, I enjoy being a sideman more. Because,
really?
I can experience more. I can learn more. Sometimes as a leader, leading a group sometimes is very self-sacrificial, you know, because you want everyone to be happy all the time. So you're kind of forgetting about yourself. You're kind of forgetting about this. And you're always serving the members of the band and making sure they're comfortable. And sometimes when you're the sideman, you get to receive some of that, you know.
Some of that love, right?
Yeah, some of that love. And you know, just playing different folks' music all the time, no matter where I go, I can just figure out what they want. And it's great. As a sideman, some folks want you to play their concept, and others just want you to bring who you are to what they've written. So it's a really interesting life.
Mm. What's your style of teaching? I'm curious.
I think my style of teaching is through experience. As far as jazz goes, the reason that I love to teach jazz is because I had to learn it all myself. I love to teach all music, but with jazz especially, if I wanted to figure something out, I did the work for it. You know, it wasn't a teacher that said, here's what you have to do necessarily. And because of that, students that have the same struggles that I did with maybe time or feel or maybe harmony or melody, I experienced it all, so I can share that, you know. And sometimes if you have a teacher that's, a total genius and it was all gifted.
Right, this came right to them.
Yeah, it's hard for them to kind of explain that. But I've had enough troubles with jazz, with playing the trumpet in general, that when students do have problems, that passionate, empathetic side of me comes out, and that's how I teach, through my experience, through my learning.
And not like the guy that was telling you were terrible viola player.
Yeah, and I don't take out a bow in my lessons enough.
Very good. That's Terrell Stafford, our guest today on Radio Times. We're talking about his life in music. He grew up in Miami and then Chicago, went to school at Rutgers University, teaches now at Temple University, in fact, director of jazz studies at Temple. He's the Laura Carnell Professor of Jazz and Chair of Instrumental Studies. He also, earlier this year, founded the Jazz Orchestra of Philadelphia, and we've been playing some selections from some of his CDs. In fact, I want to play an excerpt of Deep in the Valley of Swing, and this is from your 2011 album, To Thad with Love, a tribute to Thad Jones. And before we play this, tell us about Thad Jones.
Thad Jones was a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant trumpeter, played cornet, great arranger, great band leader, He led the Count Basie band for a while, and then started his own group in New York. And the, what they basically what he did, it's the Monday night band, the Village Vanguard. And on Monday nights, a lot of the show players were off, so he could get these really great Broadway players who all play jazz to come in on Mondays and play his music that he wrote. And he wrote just incredible, incredible music. And when I started, when I say when I came to New York, when I was playing there, I, Bobby Watson said, if there's one thing you need to do is get down to the Vanguard on a Monday night and hear that orchestra. It's really incredible. Thad Jones' writing was just incredible. So I went down and I met some of the guys in the orchestra and said, this is just great. And Dick Oates was one of the guys that I met who teaches at Temple now. And he was really encouraging and goes, you know, you got to get in here and play sometime. And no one really knew that I didn't play much big band because I didn't play it in college. So this was a new experience for me, but I wasn't going to advertise that I didn't play in a big band. So from that experience, some recommendations were made, and I started to play in the Carnegie Hall Jazz Band. And, you know, and from that point, I started to play more big bands. And then joining the Vanguard Jazz Orchestra was incredible. And then I got to really play all of Thad's music, hear stories about Thad. And I'd come back to Temple, and the Temple bands would play some of this music because I would play it on Monday nights. And I'd tell them the stories that the guys in the Vanguard band would tell me. And then it got to a point that we wanted to do an album. And it was, I said, you know, it'd be great to commission some of my favorite composers and have them compose songs with Thad in mind. And John Clayton composed this composition, Deep in the Valley of Swing. And I said, you know, one of my favorite soprano saxophone sounds is Branford Marsalis, and I couldn't think of anyone who I'd want to join. And so Branford, who loves, he loves the students here at Temple, he's really supportive, as is Winton, said he'd come up and play on the recording. And so it was a complete joy and thrill for all of us.
Well, this is an excerpt of Deep in the Valley of Swing, again from our guest Terrell Stafford's 2011 album To Thad With Love, a tribute to Thad Jones. Again, this is Deep in the Valley of Swing from Terrell Stafford's 2011 album To Thad With Love, a tribute to Thad Jones, and Branford Marsalis appearing on this CD, on this in this tune as well. And we were talking a little bit about Winton Marsalis and how your paths crossed with him and how important he was to you.
Yeah, it was. He was so significant. There was a while that when I was an undergraduate in school, my armature is not totally in the center, so. My teacher told me, you know, if you don't move it to the center, you're not going to be able to play past the age of 25. So,
if my teacher, hurt yourself,
didn't look the way the textbook said it should look, you know. So I thought about it and I said, 25 is not too far away. Yeah. And my parents were always about having a backup. So my backup, I was a math minor and a computer science minor. And so after I finished my undergrad, I put the trumpet down, and I was a computer programmer for an insurance company.
For how long?
I did it for about 6 months. And my friends were, like, really animate about me playing the trumpet again. And they bought me tickets to go hear Winton Marsalis with the Eastman Wind Ensemble. And I went to that concert, and, you know, the principal trumpet of that group, she was fabulous. And she, you know, I really was inspired by her playing, and I wanted to get back. Her name is Yvonne Tall, and I wanted to get back and just compliment her on her great playing. And trying to get backstage to the Kennedy Center in D.C. was tough, and I was trying to weave through security and sneak my way back. And by the time I got back, the Wind Ensemble had left, but there was a huge line to meet Wynton. So I said, okay, I guess I'll have to meet him then. So I met Wynton, and he says, do you play trumpet? I said, nah, not really. And he says, well, what do you mean? And so I explained the situation. He says, look, I'm going to give you name and number. Give him a call. His name's Professor Fielder. He was my teacher. If you shouldn't be playing, he'll let you know. If you should be playing, he'll get you playing better than you could have ever imagined. And I said, thanks. And I called this teacher, and I started to study with him, and that's why I went to Rutgers for grad school to study with him.
Wow.
And, you know, since that point, Wynton has been incredibly supportive. I had the opportunity to play in his orchestra and to teach for. I've been teaching for them since 1996, you know, for a long time. And even now with the Jazz Orchestra of Philadelphia, when Dina Adler came to me and said, you know, she was really excited about this, and Gary Swear from the mayor's office all put it in front of me, and they said, would you be artistic director? I called Wynton. I said, what do you think? And he goes, well, first of all, I think you should do it. He goes, second of all, I'm here for you. I'll guide you. I'm going to send you some literature about how Jazz Lincoln Center got started. Here's what you can do. Here's a model. You have full access to our library. You have full access to any resource you need. And he's been incredible. And, you know, if I have a question, I just send him a text and he'll boom right back. So it's been great. He's been awesome.
And Dr. Fielder, did he fix your mouth, or what did he do for you?
I basically have the same armature. He just says, you know, it doesn't matter where the mouthpiece is as long as you're using air. He goes, I'm going to teach you how to breathe, and breathing is going to be the new life you're going to put into this trumpet. And that's exactly what he did. And so by me breathing correctly, fixed so many other problems that I had. And he was amazing, amazing teacher, amazing person.
You mentioned the fact that for 6 months you were a computer programmer. Mm-hmm. I mean, happily, unhappily?
It was pretty miserable.
Yeah.
Because I didn't play the trumpet at all. But it was good money, and my hours were super easy. So I'd have to get to work maybe 5 in the morning, and I was able to leave at like 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And after I'd gone to see Wynton and the Eastman Wind Ensemble, that job was really great because I would wake up early and be home at 2 or 3, and then when I got inspired to play again, I use the rest of the day to prepare for my graduate school auditions.
Well, let's take another short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. Talking with Terrell Stafford today on Radio Times. I have to say he's a guest that we have been chasing for some time now. He's a very busy guy. In fact, he's an acclaimed trumpet player. He's a band leader, educator, composer, and as I've said several times, but it bears repeating, Temple University's Jazz Studies program. He heads that up. And he recently founded the Jazz Orchestra of Philadelphia, which I want to talk about after this very short break. So stay with us. More music and conversation after this short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For decades, the female dress code in Iran has been pretty strict, and women's clothing pretty drab. Now, an Iranian designer is introducing style and color, and she follows the rules for modesty. Even so,
there was a conservative website that responded to her spring collection and called it the Spring Prostitution Campaign.
Stretching Iran's dress code on the world.
Tonight at 8 on WHYY.
Comics tend to be funniest about the subjects they know best.
Well, this is my anxiety song. If I keep the kitchen floor clean, no one will die.
Maria Bamford is oddly hilarious about having OCD, bipolar disorder, and suicidal thoughts. She has a new CD and is our guest on the next Fresh Air. Join us.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
It can't get you if you're singing a song. Yeah.
Has the NSA crossed a line in domestic surveillance?
Now you have authors of the Patriot Act saying, even though I supported the Patriot Act, I never thought they would use one single warrant to get a billion phone records.
Republican Rand Paul, the junior senator from Kentucky, says the government crosses his lines of acceptable conduct all the time. The conversation next time on The Takeaway.
today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscone talking with Terrell Stafford, and we're playing some music from some of his CDs, and we do want to hear another piece. This is It Happened to Me from Terrell Stafford's album To Thad With Love, a tribute to Thad Jones. This is composed by Dennis Mackerel featuring the Temple University Jazz Band, produced by Temple's BCM Plus D. Let's listen. Lately. It Happened to Me from Terrell Stafford's album To Thad With Love, a tribute to Thad Jones. I want to ask you a little bit about the Jazz Orchestra of Philadelphia and sure. What the thinking is behind that.
Well, the thinking, it's funny, you know, when two minds are working parallel but in different spaces. Dina Adler, who's the founder of the group and one of the founders of the group, she was thinking about, why doesn't Philadelphia have a jazz orchestra? And all these major cities have jazz orchestras. So, and I was playing the Pittsburgh Jazz Festival, and I was at the festival, and I just finished performing, and I see on the side of this building, it said, you know, come hear the Pittsburgh Jazz Orchestra led by Sean Jones. And I said, wow. You know, and I started to speak to some of the Pittsburgh musicians, and they're like, yeah, it's really great for the city. You know, we can highlight some of the great players and the great talent in the city. Every city should have one. And so they're like, why doesn't Philadelphia? And I said, that's a good question.
Yeah.
And then when I returned from that trip, that's when the first meeting was had, probably last summer, about Philadelphia, you know, having a jazz orchestra. And so now it's great because, I mean, there's so many great musicians from Philadelphia. There's so many great musicians who reside in Philadelphia. And, you know, in any city, you know, that sense of community is really important. And so bringing all these fabulous musicians from any walks of life to come together and to make the best music possible for the city and represent the music and sound of the great composers and arrangers of this city is really, really important.
Do you think there's a Philadelphia jazz sound? And I ask you that, we know about the Philadelphia Orchestra has this very distinctive sound of the string section.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's a Philly jazz sound?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you think about, to me, the Philly jazz sound, the first thing that comes to my mind is just soulful. I mean, they're soulful and there's intellectual as well. You know, you had John Coltrane who just, you know, played all kinds of different styles of music, but always from the heart, always from the soul. And then you have people like Lee Morgan who were just extremely soulful and fiery, and you know, from the Shirley Scotts, and the list goes on and on. There's just so many fabulous musicians, and I want this music to be heard by everyone, not only by many people in Philadelphia who may not have a chance to experience it, but to go in the state of Pennsylvania or nationally or internationally to bring this sound to the world would be incredible.
But it must be an interesting challenge to bring all those, here's this sound, to bring all these people together and try to create that sound through the instruments, the playing of a diverse group of people.
You know, it's not so bad because, well, first of all, it seems like all the time, you know, people are contributing charts, and I'll call someone and ask them to contribute music. So we're building our, you know, we're building our library, And of course, Winton has been great in supporting us to help us build that library because money is scarce right now, and charts are expensive. So, but there are people that have been writing, are going to write for the band, and have written for the band. So we premiered some pieces. But everyone in the group, it's amazing. After the first rehearsal, everyone came together with a concept to make the best music possible, and that's what's been happening. We've had two concerts so far. We're hoping to have some sort of gala event in 2014 to raise money for the next season. And, you know, we're starting small, and hopefully we can build onto that. And a key part of it all for me and, you know, what really represents Philadelphia is education, making sure that the students in the city, you know, students in the different colleges, universities, high schools benefit from this group and the talent that this group has. So Temple University is very involved and very supportive of this group, and the students at the school come out to rehearsals, they come out to the concerts, they get to talk to the players. So it's a great mentoring group, and hopefully it'll just keep expanding.
Can I assume you're playing, or are you conducting, or what will you be performing with the orchestra?
I do. I do more conducting, and I may play maybe one song, concert, or two. I didn't want to make it about me, because it's, you know, it's not about me. It's about what's been contributed in this great city, and if I can do something to lead a group to expose, you know, the world to this music and to the great musicians of Philadelphia, I will. I just don't want to make it. I can, you know, I'm not good about that anyway.
Is that true?
Yeah, well, even with my students, I don't like to play with my students. I want it to be always about them, you know, and sometimes it can start to lean the other way, so I try to make it about them and to make you let them experience what I've had the opportunity to experience. And on this, the CD that we did that with Love was a time that I did play with my students, and it was a struggle.
Yeah.
I called Jimmy Heath and I said, you know, I've been asked to play, you know, and the dean at Temple, Robert Stroker, was really, really supportive. He goes, I think you should play and highlight some of the faculty on this CD. And I was like, ugh. And so Jimmy Heath said to me the greatest words of wisdom. He goes, you know, the only way as a teacher you can really find out what you've done as a teacher is to have the opportunity to perform with your students. If the students are the caliber that you are at, then you've done your job. So he said, consider it a blessing and an honor to have the opportunity to perform with your students. And I did that for this CD.
I was doing some research about you in preparation for today's show, and I think it was Jimmy Heath and some others said about you is that you're a good listener. Do you think you are?
I think I am. I mean, I've been kind of taught to be a good listener just because of my eyes. You know, I've been dyslexic forever.
Is that true?
Yeah, I'm severely dyslexic. And my mom was a reading specialist, and she's helped me. And she's had her friends who are different reading specialists really help me. And they've taught me how to make it through life being severely dyslexic. So
it's hard to read?
It's hard to read, yeah. It's hard to read, and it's hard for me to read out loud if I'm reading a script or something like that. It's the real makes even speaking about it now makes me a nervous wreck.
Right.
So yeah, and so it can affect, you know, music sometimes. So what I do is I listen closely, not only to when I hear people speak, but also in a musical environment as well, so that I can be one step up on this situation.
What about reading notes? I mean, are notes different from letters, words?
Notes are a little bit different. So for notes, when I sight read something for the first time, I'm usually really good at it. And then after that, when I get a comfort level, then I can look at a rhythm and totally forget how it goes. It's just like a word. I'll look at a word and totally forget how to say it, or totally forget, you know, even a word like the, you know, I'll totally forget, like, how do you spell, you know. So it does affect, you know, music, and consequently, you become a better listener. You become so that you can overcome this.
I do want to play another piece of music. This is an excerpt of Johnny Come Lately from Terrell Stafford, This Side of Strayhorn. And this was released in 2011, composed by Billy Strayhorn, of course, very important person in the world of jazz.
You know, really important. And I've always been a huge fan of Strayhorn, but I've always had a phobia because his music is very, very challenging. It sounds super easy, but it's very challenging. And we're really honored to have on faculty at Temple Bruce Barth, who plays piano, and he's the one that did the arrangements for this record. And, you know, having Bruce do that was an honor and pleasure. But what's been really, really incredible is the connection that after doing this CD that I've had with the Strayhorn family. They've been unbelievably supportive. They've even given a scholarship at Temple University, a Billy Strand scholarship for an outstanding student. So it's great.
And this features our guests, Terrell Stafford on trumpet with Dana Hall drums, Tim Warfield tenor saxophone, Peter Washington bass, and Bruce Barth on piano. Let's listen. Johnny Come Lately from Terrell Stafford's This Side of Strayhorn, composed by Billy Strayhorn. That's some playing there.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, pretty nice.
Thank you.
I was watching you listening to yourself again.
I was doing the same thing. Ooh, why did I do that?
I'm going to squeeze in another little piece of music before we have to say goodbye, and this is an excerpt of A Multicolored Blue from Terrell Stafford, This Side of Strayhorn, again, composed by Billy Strayhorn. This is the very beginning. I just want to play it. It's people, I think, will recognize it. Let's listen. Ira and George Gershwin's "Our Love Is Here to Stay," and I love the way you're talking to us with trumpet of yours.
That was a good old plunger mute.
Yeah,
everyone
yeah.
always asks
is
me
that,
what kind
yeah,
of mute.
I was going to say, what kind of mute is that?
Just a plunger. I just took the
like a plunger. Wow.
Yep, and you get a plunger, and you can cut a hole in the stopper part, and you can create all kind of sounds with the plunger, and it's a very unique instrument.
I bet.
Or mute, I should say.
Mute,
it's very
exactly.
Mute. Yep.
So what do you listen to? What kind of music do you listen to?
I listen to everything. I mean, I still love listening to classical music. That's what I listen to mostly in the car, if it's not silent. But any and everything. I don't have a type of music that I don't listen to. I don't listen to country music that much. Mm-hmm. But anything else, I'm pretty open to. I listen to rap, hip-hop. It doesn't matter. A student asked me the other day if, you know, would you play in any of those groups? I was like, yeah. If they need a trumpet, I'd do it. So I'm really open to do whatever. Because I find whatever you do, you'll grow. You'll learn more. You'll grow. You'll broaden your horizon. So I'm open.
And you like silence as well?
I do like silence because, you know, with all the musical things that go on, there's a business that has to be run as well, whether that's business at Temple University or whether that's business of me managing JOP or my quintet or my sideman. So in that silence is when I do a lot of business to get that done. Because, I mean, I think that's how if you want to have a successful career, I think a lot of it has to do with, all of it has to do with your musicality and how committed and devoted you are. But a lot of it has to do with business and, yeah. and how, you know, how you invest and how you run your life and how you return calls and how you speak to people. I think that's all important. So I spend time doing that as well.
Well, it's been such a pleasure having you with us on Radio Times. Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Marty.
You're very welcome. I'm Terrell Stafford, our guest today on Radio Times. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of the show, and this hour produced by Patty McMahon. I'm Marty Moscowain, and we're going to close things out with The End of Multicolor Blue from This Side of Strayhorn, again, composed by Billy Strayhorn, featuring our guest. Yeah.